Well, let's get right into it. Brian Windhorst was on the other day, and he said that after the Chinese Basketball Association canceled their attempt at doing the Vegas bubble in Shanghai or Beijing or wherever it was, that the NBA is skeptical of their own ability to get this started. They want to wrap that thing up by August, and we're already in April where the doorstep of the NBA playoffs would have been here. So there's going to be no NBA this year, Taylor. I was resigned to that about a week or two ago when this whole thing got ramped up to the level it did. And I want to know, who gets hurt most by this?
LeBron.
Really? And he's on my list because, let me try to think of this. Davis is a free agent. Like, he's not leaving, but that's a thing. Like, he's certainly a free agent. He's going to go to the market and everything else, and the Lakers are going to have to try to keep him. But he'll stay. That's the least of the concern. Number two, the minutes LeBron just played. Like, he just gave up, let me get the exact number here, an enormous sum, because he was back to playing the massive minutes that he had 2 years before that with Cleveland. Averaged 35 this year, so I guess it's the same as last year, but overall, 2,000 more minutes. He's on his way to passing. I think it was Malone and Kareem have more minutes than him. That's it at this point. So he just gave up hundreds of minutes for nothing, and now he's going to have to go out there and do it again because I don't think their depth is getting any better. You're right. I mean, would I have him at the top of the list? Honestly, here's the thing. LeBron's probably in LA for the rest of his career, right?
Yeah.
Are PG and Kawhi necessarily with the Clippers for the rest of their career?
I don't know about for the rest of their career, but I would assume for a large chunk of LeBron's remaining years, they'll both be there.
Because they're free agents next summer. Not this summer, but the one after. So all of a sudden,
my thing is more that the Lakers were playing so well, and LeBron has said it, other players have said it. Obviously, there's the extra motivation we've heard about from the Kobe Bryant thing. But I think he was really turning the corner and playing MVP-level basketball. I'm not saying he is the MVP or should be the MVP, but I think he was really, really turning that corner, playing MVP-level basketball. And like you said, we should be on the doorstep of the playoffs now. So I think he was in gear to make like a legitimate championship run. The way he was playing, the way the Lakers have been clicking, I know there's debate as to, you know, who's the best team in LA, who's the best team in the West, but I think that's why it hurts him the most, because in year 17, he's, I think, 35 now, really playing some really, really, really high-level basketball, and to get that completely taken and stopped is tough.
The Clippers definitely have a wider window than the Lakers do if those guys are sticking around, so it really is just 100% based on their free agencies. And that two-year deal was a killer for them because they get that loose first year, breaking. Once Paul George gets healthy, they were starting to roll. They become the two seed. The Lakers, not only were they in a great position where they had those two wins over the Bucks, they were rolling at the top of the West for all that time. There's just not the same level of certainty that they get back to that level, because think of the guys they were depending on. Dwight was playing at a level that
no one expected. You're exactly right. They had a perfect storm going.
Yeah.
And it got stopped.
And how do they replenish that? I don't think that's 100% certain. The thing is, though, if the Clippers lose what they have and you have the lame duck season now with their free agency is going to be a story. Remember how that impacted the Celtics with Kyrie? Like, no one knew if he was sticking around. It was a question every single day, and that mattered. That had an impact on the room, and it got worse as the season went on. And now you have two guys at the top of that roster in that position. Guys who, frankly, have become mercenaries at this point in their career. Like, Kawhi jumps to Raptors, has no connection to them after the championship. He's off to L.A. Maybe L.A. was the home he always wanted to reach. Like, that's where he always wanted to be. But
I think that's what it is for both of them, ultimately.
George was interesting.
Home.
Yeah,
they're both from L.A.
Because George did
Kawhi
commit to the Thunder.
Kawhi signed there and then forced them to trade for Paul George. So I think they're probably there for the long haul, especially with Ballmer just buying the Forum. I think they're probably in it for the long haul. And I think you said it perfectly. It's the guys like Dwight Howard who is having a good season, and that's not to say he can't have a good year next year. But he's only a year younger than Bron, and he's not LeBron. So you have a lot of guys that you don't really know what to expect from them moving forward from this point, and that's why I think LeBron is the most impacted person by all of this. Obviously, the fans losing the game, the NBA not playing in general is like the worst result, obviously, not having basketball. But in terms of looking at players, looking at situations, who is impacted the most, it's definitely, in my opinion, LeBron and the Lakers.
Who is an honorable mention there? Because I know who my number three is, clearly. I think we can both agree Lakers, Clippers in some order there, 1-2. How about the Bucks? Historic season. I'm not even going to get into the Giannis thing because I think that story's been so overplayed at this point because his free agency is now a summer away as well. They were playing as good as any team from a net rating perspective in NBA history. And who knows the seasons that their role guys are going to come back and have. Some of those guys were veterans, like a Marvin Williams that they went out and added. He wasn't playing too big of a role after the trade deadline, but still, that was someone who potentially could have helped them out come playoff time. And then I look at the guys like Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton. They had these role guys playing at a high level. Not only that, the East was wide open to a degree that may not be next year. Who knows? Maybe Oladipo and those Pacers come back at a higher level. That's just, you know, middle of the tier guy. But Celtics could get better. Raptors, tough for them too. I put them in the honorable mention category too because they seemingly had like that year after the championship where they were still playing at a high level, and now they have to make some difficult decisions about the future. Bucks, the East could still be there for them, but are they going to be at that enormous level that they were this year? Tough to say. And now you get in that category with Giannis. Are you going to stay? Are you going to leave? That's going to be the question every single day there.
Yeah, my three situations that I've really looked at as the most unfortunate, not necessarily in terms of situation, but for me as a fan, what I wanted to see play out, I wanted to see Houston play out in the playoffs. I wanted to see how Harden and Westbrook and not using a big worked in the postseason. That's disappointing to me. I liked watching Oklahoma City a lot because I like Chris Paul, his resurgence this year, all-star level play, and I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander getting his second playoff run alongside a guy like Chris Paul with some added responsibility that he didn't have in LA last year would have been interesting to watch. That's more, though, that I'm just a fan of those two guys. And honestly, taking the angle that you and I, you know, are most familiar with, I was really excited to see Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the playoffs, but I was especially excited to see Jason Tatum as the number one, as a guy who potentially was creeping up on third team All-NBA. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think there's a case to be made that by the end of the season he would have been in conversation. Just to see the Celtics, who have been playing so well and playing above expectations, but not really doing anything crazy or out of the ordinary, I would say, playing just good solid basketball, not getting to see them in the playoffs, and especially not getting to see if Tatum can prove himself, because everyone's talking about it, you know, Tatum's playing like a star, but let's see what he can do in the playoffs, and this season it's not looking like we're going to get to see that.
They had taken a bad turn, though, didn't they? Like, right before the season got postponed, they were blowing games, guys were banged up, the rotations, the bench were a big issue for them. They, with a delay, would have been in one of the better shapes, but I agree. Any team that's in contention period loses by missing out on that year that they're in contention, because it's never promised for the next year. I do think when I look at three teams who are less affected by this, though, I definitely put the Celtics in that category because...
Oh, 100%. That's just as a fan wanting to see this year.
Yeah, last year in any capacity is tough. Haywood was having a nice year, too, but again, now we look at the NBA, and we're going to get to those implications in future episodes. The CBA and salary cap and all that stuff's going to go down, so Hayward's in for next year. Like, I knew that before the report even came out that he would be going in on that 34, 100% with the cap about to go down. It's not a good time to commit to a contract like that right now. T- Tatum's in. They'll extend him this summer. Brown reached a new level, and I'm 100% confident that he'll be back. Kemba gets healthy, and they have three more years of him. It's a good situation, and now they get to condense that bench a little bit, which they need to do.
And Smart's under contract.
Oh, yeah, they're in a great situation. Houston, you listed Houston on there as one of the teams hurt by this. I think they were heading in a scary direction where they would have had to make a decision that now they can push back and adjust on a little bit, because that experiment was going in a bad direction when the NBA got postponed. Rebounding was taking a hit. Defense was. And I think at some point the health was going to, too. So I like the idea. I think they were doing it for too long for it to persist into the playoffs. And now they get to keep D'Antoni. They keep that Westbrook Harden core together, and they can feasibly say, let's run this back. I like their chances of making the finals, but it was trending in a bad direction when this all got shut down.
Yeah, no. I liked watching them. I liked watching the experiment. It was more that we saw Russell Westbrook, how well he could play in the playoffs alongside another star in Kevin Durant, and especially, you know, back even farther than that when all three of them were in OKC. So I think I was just excited to see Russ back on a big stage with a legitimate, you know, star next to him going at it, because those are two of the better players in the game. And after the Warriors lost last year's finals, and it became clear that they weren't going to, you know, make it this year because, you know, KD leaves, Klay's injury, Steph gets injured three games into the season. Everything felt wide open for the first time in quite some time. And now it's just this huge stop to it, and it's unfortunate.
Who's number one but them, huh? They get their tank season. They're insured the best odds in the lottery. This is the Golden State Warriors, of course. And they don't even have to play that game with Curry the rest of the way, because they were getting into that situation where he was healthy. They were going to have to start playing him, and it was going to be a big game the rest of the season. They had the perfect tank season you'll ever see. And now they're going to get maybe this guy Obi from Dayton. I don't want them to get LaMelo Ball, but this is all a conversation for another day. I think they'll make a good pick there at number one if they get that. But the new lottery odds make it tough to get number one if you're the worst team. So we'll see if they even get it. The Knicks certainly screwed that up in a big way a year ago.
Don't give the Knicks number one.
This is Dome Theory, formerly known as the Bobcast. We got a lot of interviews, documentary ideas coming up in the next few weeks, so be sure to subscribe over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and all those places. RealBobManning.com. I get it up over there. I'm Bobby Manning. That's my producer, Taylor McLeod, having a little chat today. But something Matt Moore brought up over at Hardwood Paroxysm and CBS. No, he's at the Action Network now. There's actually an Action Network thing that they did here. They did a March Madness style bracket. Won the 16. And you talk about the Knicks, Taylor. No one on the Knicks is on this bracket. Won the 16. So there's the state of the Knicks for you. We did a podcast on that a couple weeks ago, too. I filled this out a week or two ago. I was going to talk about this with Matt. We'll certainly have him on here at some point to discuss the hundreds that he saw. But there were some tough first-round matchups here. There were some tough regions for some very good players. And at the end of the day, this is a list that KD in his prime would have a tough time losing. But that's another conversation we have to have here as well. I treat this as a one-on-one tournament because that's what it says. So that certainly comes into play if you have a massive player going up against a smaller guy. I think that hurts a guy like Kemba Walker, who eventually goes up against LeBron in this. But we'll start on the top left. Kawhi, Isaac. Jonathan Isaac's hurt. So there's your win, Kawhi.
Yeah, no, I have Kawhi.
Tobias Harris and Ja Morant. It's the 8-9 matchup. It's tough in March Madness. It's tough here, too. Harris has nice moves in isolation. I think that's a place that he thrives in. Back down, he's playing a guard. But that burst that Morant showed in his first year, he's going to be the rookie of the year. And a pull-up quite like Russell Westbrook's when I look at the two of them. I think he has the edge with the explosiveness in this, despite the size mismatch.
I took Tobias. He's an experienced scoring forward in the NBA against a rookie point guard who's maybe a little undersized.
All right. Well, I don't think that's going to hurt round too much.
No, it won't.
Luka, Will Barton.
Easy, Luka.
Yep. Damian Lillard, a 4 against D'Angelo Russell at 13. That's a tough first-round matchup. If they were playing a 15, I think this would be going into the late teens between these two. Russell an incredible scoring guard, can get a shot at the mid-range, which is important when we're talking about one-on-one. But Damian, when it comes down to that last shot, he's going to have it.
Yeah, no, it's Dame.
Trae Young, Jaylen Brown. Young comes in as an 11, which is low. Brown getting some major respect with the 6. Size mismatch here is huge, but we talk about a bucket getter and kind of a 3-and-D glue guy in Jaylen Brown. I think the buckets are a lot more certain for Trae Young here. Even though Brown's a great defender, this would be another gruel of a first rounder.
I could see it going either way, but I did pick Trae Young, just like you said, because of buckets. Sorry, Jaylen.
Tough, tough first round for some of these guys. That's a 6'11", too. Come on.
I know.
Tatum, Van Fleet.
Tatum.
That's a big size mismatch. There'd be a lot of blocks there for him. He's going 0 in that one in a big way. So we have one disagreement so far. We get into this one. Come on. Like, 7'10 here. That's a little closer in the seeding chart. And Klay Thompson is, of course, injured. But if he gets back to his form against Donovan Mitchell, number 7, that's a bloodbath right there. But I'm taking Klay in a blowout.
Same. So I think a lot of people would pick Donovan Mitchell, but nah, I wouldn't.
KD, Eric Gordon.
KD.
That makes up for some of the close ones we saw in that region.
Yeah.
Let's stick in the region. Kawhi ends up going against, in your case, Tobias Harris. In my case, Ja Morant. I don't think the matchup matters too much for Kawhi in that one.
No, I have Kawhi.
We get Luka and Damian Lillard in round 2. Oh, could this be the game of the tournament? Luka has the size. He's got the versatility, which doesn't help you all that much in this one. This one's just about getting your own bucket. Luka is going to be maybe the best player in the NBA one day. But when it comes to a one-on-one tournament, when handles become at a premium, ball control, all those different types of things, and just flat out getting buckets, I'm taking Damian Lillard here.
Same. I don't think Luka could guard Dame one-on-one.
That's the other thing, too, the defense. Luka has a ways to go on that end. Trae Young, Jason Tatum. Another monster. We could have got Brown Tatum here. That would have been interesting.
Maybe yeah, I should have done that. That was part of why I went with Trae. I didn't want that.
You got dunks with Tatum here. He's going to be dunking all
this
over
Trae. This is Tatum.
Young.
This is so easy.
But Trae's got... Yeah, I guess they're both a bucket machine. Ooh, tough draw for Trae in round 2. I think the size just kills him here.
I mean, and just playing against a better basketball player.
Oh my god. This is the game of the tournament here. I think I decided this when I filled it out. Round 2 somehow. Like, this could have been the championship in a different setup. And this is why you don't give Klay Thompson a 10 seed. Klay Thompson, KD, round 2 in this one-on-one tournament for league supremacy. Like, are you kidding me?
I know.
I mean, these are two of the 10 best players in the league when Klay's healthy. This is the best game. Like, Klay's got the pull-up on the outside. He's going to be able to drain a lot of threes in this one. But KD is able to get to the interior at a rate that I think Klay's going to have a tough time, even as one of the better defenders in the league, dealing with. A little bit of a size mismatch here, too. Durant, I don't know. If he's slowed at all, this could be somewhere he trips up. But what if he takes a 10-20% step back?
Kevin Durant.
I went with it too.
Yeah, I know you did.
This is something. This is a true one, the 16, as we move on to we'll stick with this region actually. Kawhi, Dame, round 3.
I think Dame could pull that, but I pick Kawhi.
I go with my first big upset of the tournament here, and I'm actually going with this one. I'm not just considering it. I think Damian has enough big shots in him to pull this off, find some separation from Kawhi, which is what you really need. You got to be able to get past him to the basket, so he's going to have that burst factor. But can he guard Kawhi? Like, that's why Kawhi gets that one seed. He's the best defender in the league, and on some days, the best scorer, too.
Yeah, and the thing with Kawhi is I don't think he would... Most guys, even if you have a size mismatch playing one-on-one, you'll kind of like play normal one-on-one. You're not just going to back someone down if you're much bigger. At least in my experience. Most people want to like actually play one on one and, you know, play basketball. But Kawhi is such a robot. I think he would just get to like the low block and like just post, like somehow just post him up every single time because he's just computed to like score. He's programmed to score and defend and not do anything fun.
He's maniacal in this kind of environment. But I'm going with Damian Lillard, which isn't fun for this region final that we have brewing here, but I think that's how it would play out. I think Damian would be able to pull an upset here. And you give it credit too, so we'll roll with it. Tatum, KD. Big lesson for Tatum here as he rises to the third round, isn't it?
That's a good way to put it, because you and I have talked about it. I think that Tatum's game looks like Kevin Durant's.
Certainly.
So I think that would be an interesting matchup, because I think we haven't really gotten the Tatum-KD matchup yet. It hasn't really happened, because every time the Celtics...
Oh, well, get ready for next year.
No, I know. Like, that's one of the things I'm very excited for, is Tatum-KD, because I think that the way that they attack the basket is similar sometimes, and obviously being able to shoot any shot from any position is helpful. But in the end, I do take Kevin Durant here over Tatum.
If we're talking about a Tatum early in the year that has trouble with finishing and powering through his opponents, like it's gonna be a blowout. And even the better version of Tatum that we saw might be able to put up a little fight here if KD's any weaker, but it's a tough matchup going against your own poison that's years and skill-wise ahead of you. So this is gonna be a massive challenge for Tatum, both in this tournament one-on-one and for years to come when Durant's with the Nets. KD had a pretty easy path here. I mean, besides Clay in round two, which I guess throws off that argument to some degree, going through Gordon and then Tatum, who's a younger player, and I guess if Kawhi ends up against KD here in the region final, then that's his massive challenge. So we'll play both sides of this game a little bit.
For me, KD's massive challenge comes later, but it's mostly just because I wanted to have some variety after I saw your bracket.
Yeah. Dame, KD, and that version of this, I'm going to go with KD finally shutting down that Dame run that I set up here. The size, the buckets, and the defense, which is something you have to consider here too, is Durant would not be a chump on defense in this at his best. I think that would end up being a blowout in this regional final. But if we go with your Kawhi KD, suddenly I think we're talking about that as the best game of this whole entire tournament.
Yeah, I think that would be a crazy matchup. I still do have KD, which maybe won't make sense later on, but I have KD over Kawhi.
Well, this is where we need to consider how much less do you give Durant returning from the Achilles injury.
None. Taking it like normal KD.
Oh, okay. So you're not even considering
it. For the sake of the argument, to make it the most fun possible, I'm just, you know, it's KD for me.
Yeah, I'm going to consider that because I think that's actually a big question for next year. But still, in this case, against Dame, I send him on. Kawhi, I'd have a little bit of a reservation because of Kawhi's monster intangibles on defense. That's a very powerful tool in one-on-one. So I think I would send Kawhi on in that case, but I didn't have Kawhi there, so I don't even have to answer that question. KD rolls past Dame. Let's move on to the LeBron region. We can go real quick through this first round here. LeBron, Kelly Oubre.
Bron.
Zach LaVine in the 8-9 against Kemba would be a interesting matchup. Lots of good handles there. Some good mid-range action. That would be a very entertaining first-round game.
I have LaVine, strictly because of size.
I like Kemba's ability to get shots off in a one-on-one, which is going to end
quickly. Kemba could definitely win. I just have LaVine.
Either way, things are ending fast for them in round two. Westbrook, Hayward. Ah, poor Hayward. 12 seed and going up against Russell, which is really the worst matchup he could get, frankly. Like, you're talking about a guy who can just explode by you. Like, that's not Hayward's forte, is playing the explosiveness game.
No, I think Hayward could put up a fight because I think he could score pretty well in, like, half-court one-on-one. But it's Russell Westbrook running straight line at you every possession.
Too much, good luck. If there's one thing, and I'm a big Hayward guy, he can get a little frazzled in certain situations, I'd say, and this is a very frazzling situation, especially round one. He got screwed on the seeding here, but it is what it is. Ooh, this is a monster. Bradley Beal, Buddy Hield. Again, I put a top five game that we'd see in this tournament. This one's insured.
That's buckets. I went Beal.
I got to go with Beal too, but wow. I put, whoa, in the second round.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of buckets there.
That would be a lot for Beal to handle too. That one could go to overtime, much like I put in that other game there. DeMar Kristaps. Interesting DeMar. One here. Yeah, DeMar's going to get a lot of shots off in the mid-range, and he might be the best mid-range shooter in the NBA, which is important here. I go with him, too.
Not a lot. I have a general disrespect for Kristaps Porzingis, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I don't... His biggest problem is what he would need to do here, which is backing down the bigger or the smaller guys. Like, that somehow became a massive issue for him this year, so I think DeMar rolls in that one. Not a lot of disagreement so far. I think Matt made this easy on us.
This next guy might bring us some disagreement.
Pascal Kyle.
Oh, never mind. Matchup after that. Sorry. I have Siakam.
Siakam's pretty big, pretty skilled. It'd be a tough one, Kyle. Size-wise, I don't know what kind of one-on-one player Kyle would be. That would be interesting to me to see what level he's at, because I think he could be better than we expect or much worse than we could expect.
Oh, he'd be really good. He'd be really good. Siakam's just a lot bigger and very good.
It's tough matching up some of these wings and guards, especially what we're going to see round two coming up here. Drew T.J. Warren, I think this might be, if we look at all these one-on-one, would you have seen any that we've talked about so far being shutouts so far, like 15-0?
LeBron Oubre. No offense to Kelly Oubre, but...
Yeah.
Besides that, though, they've all been pretty solid.
I think Drew TJ would be a shutout, just with how good Drew is defensively.
Definitely. Might be. I don't know about definitely, but, yeah. And I think that's a huge mismatch.
And I've seen TJ have some, like, 1-of-15 games. Oh, that was a tough year.
Drew can score. People act like Drew's only a defender. Like, he can give you 40 still.
No doubt. We move on to Kyrie Sabonis. Kyrie's going to get a lot of respect from me in this tournament, because if you're talking about a one-on-one game, he's going on a run here. And he's got an easy region, or not easy. It's going to get a little tough for him in round two, but we'll get to that. Round two starts with, in your case, LaVine LeBron.
Yeah.
In my case, Kemba LeBron. I don't think there's a different result here. Maybe another shutout.
I don't know about a shutout. I think old man Bron might take a possession or two off. But yeah, no, that's definitely Bron.
This is like the old days where LeBron would go 8-0 through the first two rounds. But yeah, this is an older LeBron, so maybe he drops one at this point. 1 point, that is. LeBron's on the run three. I said Russ jumps over Gordon Hayward on this. That's funny. Russ Beal, round two. That's another monster matchup. And we talk about Russ being a little challenged as a shooter. I think that comes into play big time here.
It could. I just know that the one-on-one game, having Russell Westbrook running at you over and over again, has to wear you down so quickly.
I'm usually a fan of fun, and that would be fun seeing LeBron and Russ from an explosiveness standpoint, round two or round three.
Yeah, I have Russ winning this one, so even though I think feels worthy.
You've had the more fun matchups. I've tried to introduce a little bit of upsets here, and
that's why you're the journalist and I'm on Twitter.
Oh yeah, so I'll let you imagine that fun third round we could have had there, but I think Beal's gonna pour so many buckets down. We've seen him scoring 50 points now, really emerging to the most unsung superstar in the league this year with the rate he was scoring at with the Wizards. I think that gets him in over this, and frankly, if I had a rank of the NBA players, I might have Beal above Russ at this point.
I might too.
Alright.
I might too.
So we go on to DeMar Pascal.
I had, because of just longevity, I think that Siakam probably could take this matchup. He's obviously skilled enough and he's obviously got the size. I just think that DeMar is experienced and a legitimate bucket getter. And it's a one-on-one game, so no one's going to knock him for taking as many mid-range shots as he wants. So I had DeMar moving on.
I think Pascal has some power in him at this point. We've seen him be able to get to the basket and use his size to score, and I think that'd be tough for DeMar to deal with. Two of Toronto's finest ever here. We're talking about these two. Is two of the top five Raptors ever at this point? Yeah.
I mean, DeMar certainly, and then Siakam is on his way.
He's got a title as the number two, man. I think that puts him in there automatically.
He's just young.
Pascal, I got moving on. That would be a close one for me. But yeah, that length, that size helps on defense a lot, especially getting hand on some of those mid-rangers. Ooh, how about this one? I think I'll move this into one of my top five games in this tournament. This is probably going to be eight top five games, but whatever. Drew Kyrie. Defense, offense, at the highest level in this tournament.
1,000%. This matchup would be so fun to watch because, like I said, Drew's a good offensive player too. I give the edge to Kyrie. Surprise, surprise. Me giving the edge to Kyrie. But this one would be great to watch.
It depends what version of that defensive Kyrie we get because we've seen him lock in his early days with the Celtics and with, I think in his early days with the Cavaliers when LeBron got in there and really ramped things up, he was able to become a better defensive player for certain stretches, and he would have to be playing that level of defense to get by Drew here. I give Kyrie the benefit of the doubt that he'd be bringing out in the end in a one-on-one situation, so I send him on to round three. We move to round three. LeBron. Well, I'll let you go with LeBron Russ first. I really want to just picture how that would look.
I think it would be a lot of running at each other, but I think that LeBron can do the downhill, get straight to the rim faster than anyone in the NBA, except maybe Russell Westbrook. But he can also do everything else and is bigger and a better defender, so I have LeBron.
I'm going with LeBron, too, against either of them. Because I had Beal there, and I have LeBron.
I mean, it's by him.
he is perfect for one-on-one.
It's Bron until it's not for me. Let's just say that.
Well, we're getting to that point. LeBron, or no, we move to Pascal or DeMar against Kyrie. I think either of them in a bad position. I guess Kyrie maybe had the easiest path here.
I have Kyrie.
Yeah. He runs into a tough one in round two, but round one, round three, fairly simple for him, no matter what
way
you slice it.
I set this up on purpose, too, of course.
I don't think anyone from that other side, DeMar, Kristaps, Siakam, or Lowry, could really touch him. So Drew gets the best shot in round two. We move on to round four. LeBron, Kyrie.
Tell me what you have.
I called it LeBron Revenge. There's going to be a lot of blocks here. There's going to be a lot of bitterness over how it ended in Cleveland. And there's going to be a lot of that aggression that we saw LeBron take once Curry finally came to threaten the throne. Kyrie would be riding at such a high at this point that I think LeBron would really step up and shut this down. I don't think it'd be close, frankly.
You're probably right, Bob. And as it's been well documented in our 4 years together on the air, LeBron's my favorite athlete. He's my guy. But I ride for Kyrie harder than maybe anyone else. So I have Kyrie winning this one, and it's more of a...
How does he do it defensively?
I don't know about defensively, but I think he's pulling out all the handles, just going at Bron, giving him everything, and Bron's like, dude, I'm 35. I don't need this.
Well, he's going to get stops at some point. That's why
of course
you
will. I'm having fun, Bob.
All right. I'll let you have the fun, because I am pro-fun, believe it or not. We go to the final four. KD, LeBron, we'll save it. Giannis, Aaron Gordon gets a start on the other side, and that is a situation where
Giannis.
We could have a little bit of noise here, like UMBC. Aaron Gordon's a pretty good matchup for a 16 against Giannis, though, isn't he? Like, I think this could actually be legitimately close.
I mean, yeah, they play the same position. Aaron Gordon's big. He's tall, and he's big. And he's, extremely athletic and a skilled basketball player. So, yeah, I think he would give Giannis some problems. But at the end of the day, it's Giannis.
I said Giannis on a close one. LeVert and Shai Gilgeous, another one. One of the better first-round matchups. Both of them extremely skilled, swift, able to get buckets, and able to defend at a pretty fair level, too. LeVert is one of the better young wings in the league, I'd say. But I went with Shai in this one just because he had a burst last season to him that I think bodes very well in one-on-one, is that burst to be able to get inside and pass your defender to the basket. This one would probably be close to overtime, if not overtime. And I think I get Shai through here, and a close one. You know what stinks about the 116 next to the 8-9 is that you have a tough decision in 8-9, but you just look at it and say, ah, screw it, they're both going to lose to one anyway. So I didn't labor over this one too long.
Yeah, I went Shea, strictly based off being the best dresser in the NBA.
Ooh. Sorry, Derek Rose, you're at 12, and that feels too high. I would have put him at 16 in this bracket.
I would have left him off.
Yeah, can we get RJ Barrett here instead of Derrick Rose? We'll leave no Pistons on the board. Did Blake get in this? How did Blake get left out of this tournament?
Blake is he's 16.
Zion Rose is the round one we got.
Zion.
What the hell? that's just dumb. But Zion moves on easily. Maybe another shutout. Who knows? Karl Anthony Towns versus Melo. Oh, sorry, Melo, but this is a tough matchup for him. Although one that I think he would
It's a tough matchup for Cat.
Yeah, now that I think about it, it actually bodes well both ways because it puts Melo at a disadvantage from a power standpoint, but it also gives him someone slow and poor enough defensively that he could keep up with.
This was one of my, you know, fun things. I have Melo winning.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that he's primed to be a good one-on-one player still, and he's still, like, a big dude. And it's been documented, well documented, that people, after they play Melo, they feel like they just got beat up. And I don't know if Cat can handle that. Obviously, Cat's going to do what Cat does. He's 7 feet tall, shoots 40% from three, so he could easily win this. But for the sake of fun and for the sake of, you know, Melo being a good mid-range, pull-up, one-on-one kind of guy,
I pick Melo. In this scenario, he's able to get more threes off than Cat would be able to, quality ones at least. That's very interesting. You might have swayed me on that one, but I initially went with Towns just because I look at Towns, and this has certainly changed, but he was such a monster when he first came into the league. Like 26-14, like nothing. He was putting up some Anthony Davis-level numbers his rookie year, and then there was just some sort of complacency, I feel like, that made him draw back a little bit and would definitely have Melo capable of giving him a run here. So I imagine an older Towns that we might just not have anymore. But it'd be a thriller for sure. That would be a really good matchup for both of them. Brandon Ingram, Jamal Murray. Another good one.
I think that's a good one. I picked Jamal Murray.
I go with Ingram here because of the length. I think he'd be able to deflect a lot of shots at the rim, and that's important here. And he's been to become a better shooter. He's been able to tighten up his handle and do a lot of things. Did Ingram have the most underrated season in the NBA this year? I feel like he did because he was pushing 30 points.
I think he was very easily most improved. I think it was so obvious people were overlooking him when they were having the conversation.
Yeah, so I push him through. How does Jamal get this to you?
I just think he can get buckets. And it's just wanting to pick stuff that's not, you know, the same as yours.
Yeah. Ben and Danilo, I think this one's fairly easy. Despite Ben's limitation as a shooter, we talk again about that burst factor and a great defender. I think he powers through with relative ease here.
I think Gallo old man games him.
Really?
Yeah, I had to pick Gallo here.
Of course you did, and I wanted to bad, but...
Ben's a great defender. Ben would obviously do his thing, but...
Does Danilo have a good one-on-one?
I mean, Danilo's a big dude, and he can shoot from a lot of different angles, and he's crafty enough, and he's been in the league a long time. So I don't think it would be as one-sided as it looks. And because of that, because of, you know, how I could justify it in my head, I have Gallo pulling this one out.
There's a monster region beside Rose.
I know.
To Paul Middleton. Chris Paul would not want to lose this period, so I looked at that first and said, he would just not lose this game. Defensively, he'd be all over him. Offensively, he'd find those mid-rangers that are just deadly. But Middleton has a little bit of size, a little bit of youth on him. And when he gets that shot rolling, which he'd be able to, shooting over Paul's head is a really tough one to stop, especially in the mid-range. And he can shoot three at a higher level.
You and I have seen enough of Chris Middleton scoring at will. Whenever he plays the Celtics, the guy doesn't miss. So I picked him to move on, strictly based off that.
I don't know what happened to him in the Olympics, but that was not the same guy FIBA.
Yeah, he was playing with the Celtics, not against them.
Anthony Davis and LaMarcus Aldridge. So I have Davis going on a pretty big run in this one. But this is this would be a tough one for him to get out of, because possession after possession, he would have to guard that turnaround. It would be bruising, battering, and I think this one pushes overtime or comes very close to it. His defense gives him the upper hand in the end, but Davis gets a real challenge here in round one.
I agree. I have him winning, but I think LMA would really, really give him a run for his money.
And I didn't want to give it to LMA because I think he'd lose all chance of advancing after that, and Davis is the better fit to go on a bigger run. So luckily those two things work in his favor. So we both had Giannis and Shai round two.
Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis is too big, too strong, as they say. I use that quote all the time, and it's so funny thinking back that it came from LeVar Ball talking about how he played Jordan.
Hey, never lost.
Zion and either Towns in my case or Melo in your case. In Towns' case, it'd be a blow through. Like, complete athleticism mismatch. Defensively, Zion would put him in the toilet, and Zion would roll through that matchup. But I do want to hear how you would see a Zion-Melo going.
First of all, I disagree about Cat and Zion, but that's for another day. I have Melo winning this one. Old man, just pull up. Literally, it's like, this isn't even a joke. The Melo stuff isn't a joke to me, because when you hear all these other NBA players talk about him, especially when he didn't have a job, everyone was still talking like, this guy is one of the best bucket getters in the NBA. And I don't know if it was just because, you know, they're cool with him, they're friends with him, but you still see it in workout footage and in his footage from Portland. He's still a capable scorer.
He put up 15 a game.
Yeah, and he's the same size as Zion, relatively. Not as heavy, but he's the same height. And so he can shoot over him, and he's Melo.
Defense, he can't believe in
Zion's
that.
Zion's got, what, 10 games in his NBA career? I'm not giving him a one-on-one over Melo.
But what about the defensive matchup here?
I mean, what's Zion going to do? Just power his way to the rim every single time?
Hey, he's got a three-point shot. He pulled up against the Spurs.
Not off the dribble. He's not off the dribble shooting a three over Carmelo Anthony.
But again, I'm asking you about Melo's defense. Would he have any capabilities whatsoever here?
Of course he would. 17-year vet, great scorer. I'm taking Melo here. And I have a huge smile on my face while I do it.
All right. So I'm sending Zion on against Towns, which you disagree with too, but I don't want to get caught up too much there. Yeah, how would Towns beat? Oh, size, you think, right? 6'10"?
Cat's almost 7 feet tall, can shoot, and he's such a gifted basketball player. I think his situation has really taken a toll on him, but
I think he's taken a toll on himself.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's two-way street, but that Minnesota situation has been very bleak since, like, 1995.
I look at Jimmy Butler and what he went through there, and I think that says a lot about both what was going on in Minnesota and Towns himself, especially with what we've seen Minnesota become since Jimmy left. So I don't have a lot of respect for Towns as a player, because I think he has enormous, enormous potential that he doesn't fulfill. And Zion, hey, I doubted Zion. I thought there was going to be an adjustment period, and there was none. So I'm done doubting him. It is all Zion all the time over here. We move on to Ingram in my case, Murray in your case, against Ben Simmons or Danilo. All right, so it was Danilo Murray in your case, the opposite of mine. How do you see that one going?
I had Murray beating Gallo.
With relative ease?
Yeah, he's a younger guy who's definitely a bucket getter. I needed to get Gallo a win over Sen Bimmons in that first round.
I got Ingram Ben, which is interesting in its own right from a physicality standpoint.
And a draft standpoint, that's one too.
Was it? Great point. I didn't even think of that. Who would you take if you had a redraft?
Simmons.
Still, even with the limitations.
I don't think it's close. I think Ben Simmons is like if that jump shot... If the NBA, and obviously the NBA is the way it is, so he has to adapt. It's not up to the league to adapt to him. But I think that if there was even just a little bit less emphasis put on three-pointers, Ben Simmons would be held in such a different way.
Hey, maybe if he gets picked by the Lakers, there's a whole different Ben. Because we've seen with Sixers now, one player's shot completely screwed up and faults. Another shot disappeared entirely in Simmons. And then we move over to Embiid, and there's the consistency issue. Like, there's something clearly wrong in Philly. But given what we have on both of them, Ingram hits the only threes in this game, I give him the hand on Simmons. It'd be a tough game because they're both great defenders. It'd probably last forever out of all the games we've talked about so far, but this one would go to Ingram and by being able to hit maybe just one three, but it'd be more than Simmons would be able to in this one.
Yeah, and this matchup ultimately won't matter, so.
That's true. Middleton, Davis, tough one.
AD, easy.
Yeah, Davis can get around the perimeter defensively, and he can block some of those pull-ups that Middleton would be trying to do. That's a major advantage for him here, being able to defend inside and out. I love Davis in this tournament.
I do too.
We move to round three. Giannis. In my case, Zion. In your case, the Melo run continues into round three.
I got Giannis winning that one. Even though I wanted to have Melo advance.
Melo can't do anything against Giannis.
Man, I'm not discounting Melo right now.
Even against the best player in the league this year.
I've been inside for 3 weeks, Bob. Let me live.
I have Giannis Zion, which is fun. So I do finally create my own fun matchup against yours here. Two of the most explosive guys in the league going right at it. But Giannis is 6'10". Zion is 6'6 or so. That's a big difference. Giannis somehow might have more of a pull-up in this game than Zion does, though I don't think that will be a big thing for either of them. So basically it just comes down to who has the more burst to the basket and who's able to stay with guys to the basket. And I think give Giannis the edge on the defensive side, and it's pretty close on the offensive side. I'm going with Giannis by a hair. I think this could be a very close one for most of it.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great game. I really do like Zion, but I do want to see more from him on the NBA level before...
What did we get, 10 games or so? 15?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Handful of them.
It was really fun, though.
Oh, 100%.
It was better than I think both of us thought, too. Clearly for me. How about you?
Yeah, I thought there would be more of an adjustment period. I figured he'd be a good NBA player watching him in high school and in college, but... I thought there would be more of an adjustment period, and it's pretty clear to me that he's focused enough and has the correct mentality to use his athleticism. He has the correct mentality to use his athleticism to do what he needs to in the NBA game.
The Pelicans are soaring toward the playoffs quickly, which was impressive in its own right once he got back. We move on to Ingram in my case. Who did you have in round three here?
I think I had Murray versus AD.
Murray AD. Yeah, so mine was Ingram AD, yours was Murray AD. I think Davis and two bigs going at it here has a pretty strong edge on both the offensive end in the post area and the defensive end, and size too. Ingram's very skinny and doesn't have the same strength and power that Davis does at this point. I think he rolls pretty easily to the eight here.
I agree.
I look at it now, round one's tough too, but Davis had a fairly easy walk here too. I think all the two seeds had pretty manageable rides here, and we'll get to the next two seed, who's a very interesting one in his own right. So we both get Davis in the eight against Giannis. We finally meet back with some agreement here, and this is a really tough one. Two guys with an immense level of power, defensive aptitude, size. Giannis Davis might be the most even matchup in all of this, and Davis has the shot over him too, which makes a big difference. I think this could be the worst guy Giannis could run into. And that includes LeBron, that includes KD to some degree. Maybe KD would be tougher at his peak, but Davis is really challenging for Giannis to run into. And I think it'd be a disaster for him, frankly. Davis is a shot blocker, can hit threes, so he adds that into the equation. I think Davis would actually win this with some gap in between them.
I didn't really consider the score. I think it would be a close game because it's two of the, it's just too big. So we're so skilled on both ends of the floor. But I do have AD winning this one.
AD in the final four. Pretty impressive. And another reminder of just how dominant of a duo LeBron and AD created in LA last year. We move to our final region before we get into that final four. Harden's fun in this. Harden is really, really fun in this, and I think he has a blowout, even against a very talented player in Blake Griffin, round one, a 16 seed, easily the best 16 seed. I still think James would have some luck on defense in this, because he's another guy when he locks in is pretty good on that end. And offensively, it'd just be come on. Like, how is Blake going to deal with that?
This bracket, this whole thing is wildly disrespectful to Blake Griffin. If you look at the other 16 seeds, he's not on the same level as the other 16 seeds.
Eric and Bledsoe's above him. Like, come on.
TJ Warren's a 10.
We need to have a talk with Matt. I hope he didn't make this.
Yeah, I have Harden winning, but Blake shouldn't be a 16.
Harden moves on. We now have CJ Spencer, another good one, but I give a lot of respect to CJ as a one-on-one player. Man, I love CJ McCollum. His podcast is awesome, and he's a bright, intelligent man and has a massively bright future. Both behind him in the story that got him to this point, in the present, I saw this guy drop 40 in Orlando just about a month ago now, and I look forward to the future. He's going to be very successful, and I think he wins this one fairly easily, too. We move on to Steph Lou Williams. Ooh, Steph getting hit hard round one. Lou gives him a good run here, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Lou's probably one of the better one-on-one players in the NBA. He just happened to run up against Steph. So I have Steph moving, but a tough matchup for Lou.
Makes me think we should bring Jamal back for this, too. He just doesn't have a team. Steph, I think, slides by on the three-pointer here. It's going to be very tough to guard that range and his finishing ability, which has long been run underrated. Jimmy Jaren Jackson.
I think Triple J is really good. I just think that Jimmy Butler is the better player.
And the will to win here. Sometimes in one-on-one, that will to win, that intensity that I gave Chris Paul a lot of credit for is a big factor here, too. Jaren Jackson needs to add some aggression to his game, I feel like. Very skilled, very polished, and an incredible physique, but he needs some aggression and power to him that Memphis is going to need going forward, and Jimmy has that. That'll be a good second round as we come up on it. Booker, Jokic.
Booker. Buckets. I love Jokic is one of my favorite players to watch, but he's such a 5-on-5, control-everything kind of guy, and Booker's just about buckets.
He does have some skills that would bode well here, but not against Booker. His turnaround jumper and his face-up game are really good, but Booker just has an explosive scoring ability that would make this one blow it in my eyes, too. Paul George Vucevic?
PG.
Yeah, PG rolls there. Fox Bam. Now, we've been given the edge to guards over bigs for the most part here, but Bam was a different story this year. Like, he had the face-up game going. He had the three-pointer going. Another guy who might be more 5-on-5, but I think his size would be a little overwhelming, and I don't know where Fox would pile up the stops. You got to consider that, Taylor. You need a lot of stops to win these games, and for you big little guys against big guys, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
I know, but are the bigs starting posted, or are they having to go off dribble and get to the rim? Because that isn't in a lot of their skill sets. Not saying about Bam, because obviously Bam can do that. I pick Fox here just because of speed and, you know, straight line stuff, like we said with Russ, like we said with Braun. I just think that straight line speed is very hard to guard one-on-one. But out of all the bigs in this, I think, besides AD probably, I think Bam has the best shot at beating a guard.
Yeah, for sure. That's why I gave him that one. Fox doesn't have the best shot in the world. Fox had a tough year last year, injuries and everything else. I feel like we didn't hear too much from him. James and CJ, round two. One of the better games. I put this in the top 10 of my top five.
Hang on, what about... Yeah, we both just have Embiid beating Bledsoe at the end, right?
Yeah. All right, we let Embiid roll over Bledsoe, right?
Okay, yes.
Forgot about that one, but that was a good one to forget about. James and CJ, round Harden. Two. CJ's tough to guard. I think this one becomes a shootout.
But James Harden. James Harden.
You got to get soft on the other end, too, and I don't think CJ could do that. Steph and Jimmy, another really good one. This region's pretty good on this side.
That's a great game. I do have Steph just because handle, shot, finishing at the rim. He can do all three. Not saying that Jimmy can't, but he's one of the best at all three.
Steph has had some really good defenses around him one-on-one, or five-on-five, rather. And in an isolation setting, I think you look at Butler's defense, you look at Curry's defense, there's a massive mismatch there. But along with size, which is another thing here too, I think Jimmy locks up and wins this game. And that will to win too. I know Steph has a fire underneath him, but Jimmy's is just at another level, and I really respect him as a defender and a spot-up shooter and a dribbler. I think he brings together three tools here that would really give Steph a lot of problems, if not win. And I'm actually sending him on beyond this round.
We'll ask this question once Steph has a full season under his belt again and see if the answer is the same.
I again rob us of a fun matchup. Booker, George.
So the easy pick is obviously PG because he's such a great defender and such a great offensive player. But I really do believe in Devin Booker as one of the best bucket getters in the NBA. So for the sake of this bracket, I do have him moving on.
I think George defensively is a big problem for Booker here. So I did lean with conventional wisdom a little bit, a wing versus a guard too, and a scoring wing at that. George has really upped his three-point shot too, so I think that would be a big help for him in this one.
This is Kentucky bias. This is Jamal Murray. This is, I guess De'Aaron and Bam are both Kentucky, but there's some of that, but I do really believe in Devin Booker as one of the best scorers in the NBA. So
offensively,
I think he'd be able to score against PG. I don't know if he'd be able to get stops on the other side, though.
Finally, considering the stops, we move on to round three here. In your case, James.
This game has been and always will be about buckets.
Bill Russell. Why did I call him Bill Russell? This was
It was Bill Russell and Uncle Drew.
That's right. Yeah, I almost mixed the two up because Uncle Drew kind of looks like Bill Russell.
Yeah, but don't skip that last matchup.
James. Oh yes, Bam and Joel.
I have Fox and Embiid. I do have Fox beating him, though.
Really? All right. So you have Fox in round three. That's a big shakeup from what I got here. The big matchup.
Honestly, straight line speed one-on-one is so hard to guard.
Joel's a shot blocker, though. He can get out on guys a little bit.
But if he has to step out to try to stop Fox, it's over.
It really is about who gets the ball first in a matchup 100%. Like that. When in my situation, it's Bam, Joel. And Joel still has the post power and moves that we forget about made him the best center in the league around his second year into his career after the two seasons off. I think he would overpower Bam here and the experience and everything else defensively. I like Joel in this tournament as an isolation big man, especially in a big man on big man matchup there. He gets a pretty good early path here, but it does get tough in round three, no matter which one of those guys you send onward. Fox in round three is interesting. Still got a lot of respect for him, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked De'Aaron Fox. And as I've said, I'm obviously picking a couple matchups that are out of left field just to spice things up. But in terms of a one-on-one Fox versus Embiid, I do think that Fox has unbelievable speed. And if Embiid stepped out to try to stop him at all, it'd be pretty easy for Fox to get to the rim. But the thing is that we have to remember is, are these bigs taking two dribbles, turning their back, and then posting?
Yeah,
or are they actually trying to go off dribble and, like, you know, play one-on-one like that? So it all depends. Obviously, I'm going guards over bigs. But if it's a post game and that's a thing, obviously it would be the other way around.
I guess it depends who it is, because I could see Joel doing the face-up thing, but that probably wouldn't bode well for him.
He'd obviously score at will on De'Aaron Fox down low. It's more a matter, for me, it's more a matter of, you know, perimeter play and just speed. So.
Well, Fox can defend, too. We move on to Curry Harden.
I have Harden.
With ease?
Yeah.
Hey, Matt did well with that one. That was the MVP debate for so many seasons. I venture to say I'd do the same. That's a tough matchup for Curry one-on-one. I'd be interested to see, though. Curry can impress a lot of people in a one-on-one environment because I have many of the reservations about him that I think a lot of people would when he's out there all alone. But, again, Steph's a guy who's always been underrated, and he's done the legendary things that he has by superseding expectations. And mine would be kind of low for him in this situation, too, against a Harden. But who knows what he'd be able to cook up. Definitely has the MVPs on him. I instead here go with James and Jimmy Butler. And I think that's when Jimmy gets overwhelmed. The shooting, the scoring, the finishing all becomes too overwhelming for him to keep up with. Even if he does manage to get some stops on Harden, I think that one would be a blowout. Three-pointer, a big deal there, too. Harden would be awesome in this tournament. He has one of the better games for it.
Yeah.
We got...
So, I have Booker versus Fox. I have Booker moving on. But, again, we're at the bottom of this, and it's, you know...
Yeah, this is one of the weaker legs of the tournament here. I end up with George and Joel, and not something I necessarily want to watch, and I think it bodes pretty well for George, too, here. I think he would move by and be pretty easily. There'd probably be a little stretch of overwhelming size that would get him, but again, fast, agile defensively, great tools, great size. He's someone who would be able to take down Embiid, but Embiid would really have a good shot at getting to the Elite Eight out of this region, I think.
Yeah, like I just... The thing with this region is having Harden in it makes it kind of a wash for me.
Would Embiid give Harden any issues?
No.
All right. Just want to throw it out there. So in my case, it's Harden George. I think George might be one of the better guys in this tournament to give Harden issues. And I actually include him over his, you know, rival in James Harden. Or no, I just completely screwed that up. Let me start that over. So Harden and George meet up here, for me at least. And I think George might have the best shot of anybody we've talked about so far of giving Harden that upset. And I don't do it here, but I thought long and hard about it because George is bigger, great defender, has buckets in his own right from all levels. And Harden, you look at him, some defensive issues. I don't know if he'd be able to guard George's explosiveness. But again, Harden's three-pointer and the step-back are such a strength for him that I send him on in the Final Four. But I think this would be a great game. And it's a big reason I set it up is I think that's the best regional final we could have asked for here. Did you see Booker Harden being a good game?
Yeah, because I think Booker can really score. This part of this was just me wanting to give Devin Booker some respect.
No, I don't have it.
But ultimately, I think Harden's Final Four. If this is a one-on-one tournament of the NBA, Harden is easily one of the four best one-on-one players in the NBA. And that's kind of where I went with this tournament, with this bracket that we're doing, is like, who do I actually believe? Not using any how we normally look at basketball, big, small. And like, you have to take things into account. But in terms of just one-on-one, that's kind of like what I did. More like just roll the ball out there, not necessarily... You know, is Embiid going to post against someone? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, those are things you got to take into consideration as well as the defense. Harden actually, I'd say, better defender than Booker.
Oh, 1,000%. Harden's a better defender than people want to give him credit for.
Yeah, especially in isolation and in the post.
He's 6'5 and like a real solid dude who can play D when he wants to.
And there's some people got to be playing defense for that five small... line up to work, and eventually he was going to have to really lock in. I think he would have. Harden now moves to the Final Four. So our Final Fours, all the same, right? Davis, KD.
I had Kyrie moving past.
That's
Brown.
Right, yeah. Oh, God. So let's go over there then. KD and Irving, the teammates with the Nets now. We're talking about KD at a pretty high level, I'd imagine. So we see Kyrie come in at like 6'2 against the 7-foot Durant. You somehow had him piling up the stops to get by LeBron. Is there any way you had him piling up the stops to get by KD?
Let me preface this by saying I set up the one-on-one game I want to see most. So I do have Kyrie Irving moving on.
Oh, no freaking way.
No, you're right. You're right. But I set up the game I want to see most. The two, in my opinion, the two bucket getters who are the most fun to watch in the NBA for me. And that's what I set it up as.
I don't even know what to say to that. We're talking about a 7-footer versus a 6'2 guy. A guy who is known for stretches of shaky defense. And he is going to get shot right over by KD. this one wouldn't even be a discussion for me. I think Durant can hang with him defensively too. Good feet, length, size. Like, I don't know how you would give Irving that one.
Because I wanted to.
Well, there you go. That's the only excuse you can use, I guess, in that scenario. KD LeBron, in my case. I'm sure you want to discuss this one too. KD LeBron has long been a conversation because LeBron's had that extended prime. So he's gone into that age where Durant was clearly the best scorer in the game. I think he almost won 3 scoring titles in a row, ended up with 2. So he is the better scorer here. LeBron, shooter, his shot comes and goes, but he's got a nice pull-up in between. KD's is unparalleled, and they can both score at the rim at ease. Both great defenders who would really be good matchups for one another on that end. I think we talk about that as being the game of the entire bracket if it did come to that.
And 100%.
Durant has just a few more buckets in him, I feel like. This one could go in the 20s maybe if they were both playing at their highest level possible. KD, though, better three-point shooter, and that makes a big difference here.
I'd want to see KD LeBron play one-on-one over any of these matchups every day, all the time, because those are two of the all-time greats. So they're on not different level for me, because obviously they're within everything, but that's KD and Bron. They're on a different plane than a lot of these other guys. So when you see my final matchup, it's pretty easy. It's just buckets, buckets, buckets. Not who's focused on legacy, who's focused on this, who's focused on that. It's literally just about scoring.
I guess mine is to some degree too. Durant, and when we look at the other side, both of us had Harden, both of us had Davis. I think that's the point where Davis's magic runs out a little bit, and there's just a massive scoring lapse that he's going to have to figure out, and I don't think he's going to be able to. Harden would have a tough time defending him, certainly. So this could be closer than I give it credit to, but Harden has the buckets, and like you said, that's what it comes down to. Davis's great run comes to an end. I do wonder, would Giannis give Harden more trouble than Davis would?
That'd be spicy. And he'd probably... I think any of these guys are going to give the other player a ton of trouble. They're the best players in the NBA.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
I have Harden moving on here because I was reading and watching some stuff about Harden. And when you look at how the rest of the NBA talks about him, it's like they've never seen anything like what he's doing, because they haven't. The way that Spoelstra, the way that Kerr, the way that Pop, they talk about guarding him and having to drop stuff, and obviously this is more 5-on-5 related, he's such a prolific scorer that I just don't think there's anyone – I don't think there's anyone in the league right now who's keeping him from scoring more points than them one-on-one.
So go ahead, roll it out there, your ridiculous Irving Harden final that – I don't know how Irving would get through LeBron and Durant the succession, but I think I'd be holding Irving in the same regard as you. So once he does that and I see it with my own two eyes, I'll be sporting Irving jerseys everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie aside, if I were to tell you, give me a one-on-one of the two best scorers in the NBA, two most fun, best, held in the highest regard, defenders talk about them a certain way, who is it? KD is obviously there because he's one of the greatest scorers of all time. But for him, it's such a different conversation. He's a legacy guy. He's got two championships. He's chasing other things. When it's just who do you need to go get you a bucket? It's going to look cool. It's going to, whatever, whatever, whatever. It's Harden. It's Kyrie. That's my final matchup, and I have Harden winning because Harden is the best scorer in the NBA and has been for a substantial amount of time now, and no one's stopping him one-on-one.
I, in mine, which is Durant versus James Harden, the former Thunder teammates, and frankly, at this point, I would declare them the two greatest scorers of all time. Kareem did his thing. And I'd probably get some flack for the old heads for leaving him out of that conversation. Still the all-time points leader. But these two guys did it from all four levels. Free throws, in between, at the basket, and from three, of course. That no one's ever quite done it at. And It would be so exciting to see those two go back and forth because there's the legacy factor. Harden's going to need a championship at some point to really cement his legacy, which is going to be tough for him as the front man. He might honestly be better off as a number two in that kind of situation if he's able to get in that situation. But anyway, for now, Harden, I love him. I love his skill set. I think that he is a prime, prime candidate to win this. But we get into the size mismatch again. KD being able to shoot over him. KD being able to back him down. And overall, Harden's a great volume three-point shooter, but I think Durant's the better three-point shooter overall. So it comes down to that, and I declare KD the winner of this, which hurt a little bit because I have some reservations about how he's going to come back from his injury. I do think that there could be some setback with him, but all I have to imagine is the KD of before. And if we look at the dynamic of this tournament, how everything's matched up and lined up, I don't think there's anyone else who could win this tournament. Maybe LeBron. But again, what happens if we put LeBron here against Harden instead of our two choices?
There's so many different things that could happen. I pick mine the way I pick mine to spice up the episode, let's say. LeBron and Kevin Durant are LeBron and Kevin Durant. They are the two best players in the NBA when they're both healthy, and they're two of the 10 best players ever, in my opinion. So it's like you've got both those guys in a bracket with a bunch of other prolific players. I mean, Steph Curry is a three-time champ in the conversation for greatest point guard of all time and is the greatest shooter of all time. So, I mean, at some point we have to discount a guy like that too. Like I said, I went with buckets. I went with James Harden. That's what it was. I have a couple questionable decisions along the way, but we had to have something to talk about.
And we certainly did here. Hour and a half of content. Great episode, Taylor. There are so many people I want to talk to in the coming weeks. We're certainly going to have time to do so. We'll catch up on coronavirus stuff as that continues. But again, don't want to talk about that as much as there's a million different other directions we can go in here. And I do have some ideas for some bigger documentary style podcasts that we might be rolling out here too. But one, two, or three, if we're able to get to them within however long this is going to last. So prime podcasting time. Appreciate all you do here. And if everybody else can subscribe, realbubman.com is the spot. See you all in a few days.